Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to this very, very special service. There is a buzz of excitement in the air because today we will be baptising Annie. And after the service, as we've mentioned, we will be having a vote as well. This is a very, very special day. As I was preparing for the service today, I just had the most just profound sense of thanksgiving for the year and for what God has done in this church over the last year. And I feel like today is an incredible milestone for a number of reasons. And I felt like, I'm gonna talk a bit. I'm gonna talk about a moment with Jesus in a minute. But first of all, before I get to that, I actually wanna share some background. I wanna give you a little bit of a pastor's perspective on what this year has been like, because lots of things go on in this church and you don't always get to see the behind the scenes stuff. You guys don't get to celebrate all the things that we do in the office. And there's just been some great things going on and I just wanna share those things. You know, Annie didn't wake up this morning and decide that she was just going to have a spa in church. Like, this has actually been a story that has been a long time in the making. So this time last year, I remember we baptised a lot of people. In fact, we had so many people to baptise, we actually had to have two services. 14 people got baptised last year, and two of those people were Alvin and Julia, and you're going to hear from Julia in a minute. And after that service, planning for 2023, I thought to myself, you know what, Lord, all of these people have come to faith. What they need now is discipleship. So I sat down in January and I started writing a discipleship course thinking this is going to be the trajectory of the year. We're going to get people reading the Bible. We're going to get people learning about all sorts of things. And then I had two very, very random phone calls from women that didn't even know each other, that had literally just become Christians. And they rang up and they said, hey, Pastor, I've become a Christian and I think I should read my Bible, but I don't know how. Will you help me? And this is music to a pastor's ears. This is like what we live for when we get these calls. We get very excited about this. So I thought to myself, okay, well, how are we going to do this? We're going to get them together after church. We're just going to start reading through the Bible, just a couple of chapters at a time after church. And as questions come up, you know, we'll just answer them. And that's how we'll start. I thought on the first day that there would just be the three of us, but there were five on the first day because word started to get out that actually we're going to learn how to read the Bible. And then the next week there were a couple more, and the next week there were a couple more. In the end, we had about eight people just wanting to read the Bible, just to learn how to read the Bible together. And then we got to Easter. Now, there were people in this group who had never heard the Easter story before. That's how new they were to this whole Christian thing. And sharing the Easter story with people that have never heard it before is the most remarkable thing that you can do. It was just profound. So we came out of Easter and Mike and I were sitting in the office thinking, okay, well, what do we do with this now? Well, we need an Alpha course, obviously. So we started an Alpha course. 22 people came to our Alpha course, and it wasn't just because Rhonda is a great cook. It was because the Spirit is moving. I think 22 is an amazing number for a church of our size. People are hungry. They're hungry to know the Lord. So we finished Alpha and we thought, okay, what do we do now? Some of these guys, they're headed toward baptism possibly. All right, well, we're going to partner with Crossover Australia and we're going to preach through what does it mean to be baptized. And we had a course running after church, and it was all about what baptism means, what is a testimony, all of that kind of thing. We had nine people attending that course. Isn't that amazing? Now, today, we will only be baptizing one of those people. Of the nine, some of them have said, hey, this is such great news. I want all my family to come. They can't come now. Can we get baptized a little bit later? So we will baptize them in the future. Some of them have said, wow, this being a Christian thing is a really serious business. We are committed to growing in that way, but we're not quite ready yet. But hold that, we will be. We will be ready soon. Some of the others, they've actually already been baptized, and the reason that they were doing the course was it was like a renewal of their wedding vows. They just wanted to renew their faith and just be reminded of what it was that they did all those years ago when they were baptized. So why am I telling you all of this? Because God is moving in this church. People come to know Jesus in this church. And actually, baptism is a community celebration because baptism happens within the faith community. And it's you guys who welcome people and pray for people and give and serve and make friends. The reason these people are coming to know the Lord and coming to grow in their faith is because they are planted in a healthy community. So this is a reason for all of us to celebrate today. Thank you so much for being the church at Inglewood. You're doing an amazing, amazing job. So, as I said, Alvin and Julia were baptized last year. And I don't know if you remember their testimony. A lot of it had to do with Alvin sharing his faith with his wife, Julia. And they just went ahead and they just grew in the Lord. And it's amazing. You know, they actually run a Connect group now. They're just going for miles with Jesus. They're super excited about their faith. And today when we baptize Annie, Annie's actually a friend that has come to church through Alvin and Julia. So I want to share a story from the Bible which kind of sums up what's been going on here, because we see this practice, we see this repeated a lot throughout Scripture. We see people meeting Jesus and they just can't keep their mouths shut. They just have to tell their friends and family. So I'm going to read to you a story about the paralyzed man. And it actually fits in really well with the communion story that we've just had. So thank you for that, Andrew. That was very unintentional, but still, very good. Okay, so it says in Luke chapter 5, one day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And from the Lord's healing power, the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man sleeping on a mat. And they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and they took off some tiles and then they lowered the sick man on his mat into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think that he is? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? It's easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picking up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." What I really love about this story is the main characters are Jesus and a group of blokes that are just super close. They just really love each other. Now, we don't know if these guys are family or whether they're friends, but what we do know is that they really love this guy that's paralyzed. He's one of their group, and they really, really care about him getting healed. The other thing that we know is that they seem to have some kind of faith that Jesus is the one who can do this. Now, we don't know what their story is. We don't get their testimony written down, but somehow they know that Jesus is the only hope for this man, and they will go out of their way to get their friend in front of Jesus. And they do that. They get him in front of Jesus, and what happens? Jesus does what they expect that he will, and he does even more. Not only is he healed, his sins are forgiven, his whole life is transformed in that moment, and everyone watching is deeply encouraged. They just can't contain what has happened to them, what has happened to this guy. Do you know, we don't just do life on our own. We do life in community. Faith happens in community. Faith happens when we gather together and we bring each other to Jesus. We share these stories together and we exclaim that God is good together. So today, we're going to hear what God has done in Annie's life. I'm actually going to invite Annie and I'm going to invite Julia up to the stage. And we're going to hear a little bit about what God has done in their lives. So the word testimony, this is a word that is thrown around a lot. And we may not understand exactly what that means. That's okay. I'm going to unpack that a little bit for us today. Basically, it comes down to saying, I want to be a follower of Jesus for the rest of my life. Now, in our sermon last week, we talked about the fact that as a church, we practice believer's baptism. And that means that we practice the kind of baptism where people come to a decision for themselves that they want to be followers of Christ for the rest of their life. Now, with that decision comes a story. And that story is deeply personal. You guys can come on stage if you want. Come on stage. Come and stand with me. Don't be shy. With that comes a story. That story is deeply personal. It is sacred. And it's unique. And we celebrate those stories. Now, when we go to, if anyone ever goes to court, and there's a witness in court that's called upon to give a testimony, that witness, they don't have to solve the crime. They don't have to pass the judgment. All they have to do is just say what they saw. All they have to do is just say what they know to be true. What did they experience? What did they see? What did they hear? What do they know to be true? And that is what a testimony is. It's not a sermon. It's not a lecture. It's not a laundry list of everything that anyone has ever done wrong. It's simply saying, this is the story of God in my life. And that's a profound thing. So, before we get into this, I wanted to invite Julia, because Julia was baptized last year. Julia, I've got some questions for you before we get into this. My first question to you was, what was it like when you were baptized last year? What was that experience like for you?
I really don't know how to describe it, but I put them in a very short sentences. When I look at this question, I can picture myself before and after baptized. I'll just talk about after I baptized. The first one, I think, is I feel freedom. Freedom of what? Freedom of this materialistic world actually put on us for so many years. I've been right now 43, so 40 years being in this world, you know. So I feel freedom is I can let go everything I don't want. I can be myself and as God intended to be. And I'm very comfortable to be that way. I think the confidence inside of me just start growing because I trust Him. Because He made me in this way, I'm very comfortable. So not influenced by this world anymore. Well, I'm not saying anymore completely, still some time, but I go back to reflect. And the second one, I feel like I surrender. I have so much worries and stress with life every day. I like control, I like to plan, I like to make goals for each year, for each month, for each day, each week, I need to accomplish. If I didn't get there, I was really frustrated. How can I didn't get there? And things didn't go into the way I wanted, you know, I feel frustrated. So right now I surrender, it's like, okay, I put my whole life, you know, into God. Let Him to guide my life in every part of it. Doesn't really matter food, exercise, or work, educating children, relationship with Elvin, and everything, I pray. It's small and big. So I feel like I don't have a lot of stress. I don't think about future. Well, I'm not saying so completely not thinking, but at least I can live at the present, be at the moment. I think that's more important. The last one is I finally feel I can commit to the relationship with God. Before, I feel like I'm on the parking mode for so long. I know Jesus in 2004 in Beijing. So right now it's like nearly 20 years. I'm just in a parking mode to watch and look at everybody and thinking, oh, I can't get in there. I don't think I'm ready. I can't commit myself. Once I get there, I really make my commitment to build a relationship with God above everything else. So this is the most important. So I think that reflects me. Thank you.
That's really awesome. Now, how did you come to meet Annie?
I think we met randomly.
Yeah.
At the park. Yeah. It's a Daniela open space, and we both look after our daughter, and just playing, and then there were another mom we together, and then slowly we get to know each other, and then I was running a volunteer work in Daniela Library, and then I invite Maxine, and then Annie went come to the library, and then we just mingle together most of the time, and slowly. Children become good friends, and we become good friends, and family closer, and then we meet more people along this journey. Thank you, Anne.
That's awesome. And so how did the subject of God come up? How did you share your faith?
I didn't really share with Annie about God anything. I think just to be honest, just come naturally. When there's something comes, I share a little bit, but I didn't really share anything on purpose, to be honest. I didn't feel like I just invited her to come to church and thank you for everyone in this church. I think everyone plays a part because everyone is represent of Jesus in our heart, and then played a big role in my life. I'm sure in Annie's life as well, because we don't know as a new Christian, we don't know how God, you know, become a Christian feels like, looks like, and behaves like. But look at everybody else here, and then we get, oh, that is a community. Particularly when I'm so hungry for Bible learning, and Pastor Shell mentioned this Bible study that we joined in, and we met Annie as well, Jennifer and Lisa, and other people as well. And then from there, we come to the Alpha course, which is Rhonda and Elizabeth played a big part in this because they look at our kids. So Annie and I can really deeply to into this learning, which is invest our spiritual growth, you know, in a very deep sense. And then after that, of course, Annie had the Baptist course. I missed out. I went to China.
That's awesome.
But I think thank you for the support from everybody in the church. And then, of course, at the community, we grow as together. For me, I just feel like I'm so hungry for knowing God. I'm so hungry to know how my life will be if I just live every day as God intended for me to be. That's my dream. My whole life, I want to be like that. That's every opportunity. At the same time, I think God actually lay and paved the path. Like I met Rosa and Filippo, and right now the mom and dad, I was like, wow, all these people are angels come to my life. And everybody played a big part, and thank you. And Lisa's family, and then we have Jennifer who's in Malaysia, and everybody just play part for my life as well. And Annie's baptized today is actually encouraged me to be an even better Christian, to know God even better. And thank you.
Thank you. Well, now we want to hear from Annie. We want to hear your testimony. What is your story of God in your life? Do you want this? Does that help?
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Julia. Well, today is a very special day for me. I thought I'd be okay without crying, but it was a big decision for me to be baptized. But like it just came naturally without doubt. I didn't struggle of making the decision. It just came naturally from my heart. So, I have to say a thank you to this very special friend, Julia. She has been like a light in my life. To put me in the church. So So I have learned so much from her. Before I met her, I had a lot of struggles. Especially after I had kids, because my family is not over here. And then, my husband, he works away. So I'm pretty much on my own. There are a lot of struggles. But now everything is getting better. So that was a big change of my life. And also, less complaining as a parent. So it's a blast to me, for me to come to this community, then lead me, before I came to church, I just felt lost. I couldn't find in my life what should I do. Even though I have Maxine, she was a gift from the God. So I have more peace than I ever have felt before. I want to keep learning, so that's why I decide I need to be baptized, just to push myself. Commit to what I want to do, and also to help the people around me. My brother is not here today, but he has a lot of struggles, so hopefully I can share some strength with him, just put him into a better world than he is now. And also, I want to say thank you to my husband, Daniel. It's not easy, as he works away. He does 3-in-1, so it's really hard. His job is a lot too, so he had a lot of stress. So when he come home, it's kind of quite difficult too. Especially when you have a young child, it's just so hard. But he's definitely being a best dad that he ever is. Thank you, Daniel. Then thank you, everyone. And also Pastor Mike and his wife is not here, Rhonda. They have helped a lot. And also I have met a lot of nice people in this church for all their support. Shell, thank you. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Annie. Thank you, guys. Okay, well, well done, Annie. That was awesome. So I'm going to get Annie to pop down this way. Get yourself ready. Julia, do you want to go that way? Okay. Okay, so baptism. Well, when we follow in the way of Jesus, his blood makes us clean for all time, doesn't it? You know, we had a sermon last week where we looked at the fact that we don't need to engage in rituals anymore, where it just makes us clean and then we get dirty again and we have to keep going. No, Jesus' blood makes us clean once for all time. Colossians 2, 12 to 13 says this: "You were buried with Christ when you were baptized, And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all of your sins. And that is the message of the gospel, that we can be alive in Christ forever and ever. Isn't that the most wonderful news ever? That's brilliant. Baptism doesn't wash away our sins. Jesus' blood has done that already. So what is baptism? These are the 6 points that we covered in the baptism course. I'm going to run through them really quickly. Now, as I run through these, we do something a little weird, a little crazy. Things could get a bit crazy here in church today. If you're sitting here and you feel like, hey, I want that for myself, we have spare t-shirts. Look how cool this t-shirt is. It's great. You too can be baptized today if you would like to be, and I'm going to make that call. I'm going to put that call out at the end of the service. We have spare towels. If God is placing on your heart that you would like to be baptized today, you can do that. All you need to do is at the end of the service, come and tap me on the shoulder, and we're going to baptize you today if you would like that. Otherwise, you can come and see we will be baptizing more people early next year. Okay, so what is baptism? First of all, baptism is a public declaration. Annie has just stood up here and declared that she is a Jesus follower for the rest of her life. And that takes guts, don't you reckon? Yeah. She did an amazing job. Can we give her a hand? Amen. Secondly, baptism is a visual sermon / it is a drama. So as we've just read in Colossians 2, we are buried with Christ. Our old lives are buried in the ground, and then we are raised to new life in Christ. And we are acting out as we go under the water and we're pulled back up. That is what we are acting out and what we are demonstrating. A visual sermon, that means that people watching on are encouraged and they're challenged, because that's what sermons do. Okay. Thirdly, baptism is a U-turn sign. We learnt last week that to repent means to have such a change of mind, such a change of attitude, that it permanently redirects your actions so that you are no longer behaving in the same way anymore. And when we get baptized, that is a U-turn that we look back on for the rest of our lives, going, that's the point where I turned off and I started following Jesus for the rest of my life. Number four, we are baptized into community. Haven't we just heard a beautiful story about finding community through the Christian church? When we are raised out of the water and we are raised to new life, we are raised to life with billions of Christians all over the world. And we are united with something that is far bigger, far more important than your race, than your nationality, than your geography. We are members of the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of Christ Jesus. And that is a powerful thing. We become part of community. Fifth, baptism is obedience. Jesus says to go out into all the world, baptizing people, making them disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we learnt last week that even Jesus himself was baptized. And what a beautiful moment that was. Now, sixth, this is where things get weird. Baptism is a sacrament. Now, if you've grown up in a Catholic church, you might be familiar with 7 sacraments. In Baptist churches, we have 2. We have communion, the Lord's Supper that we've just had before, and we also have baptism. These are things that Jesus himself has asked us to do in order to remember him. How do we define a sacrament? Well, in layman's terms, it's something that's kind of ordinary that we engage in and God engages back. It's a little bit like if you have a favourite park bench that you go to sit on and God comes and sits next to you. Now, what could happen in that moment? It could be a wildly exciting conversation and strange things could happen, or it could just be the two of you enjoying each other's presence together in that moment. But a sacrament, baptism, and the Lord's Supper are moments where we engage intentionally and God engages back with us. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay. Something that I forgot to do before, Annie, is I forgot to pray for you. So what we might do, can I have Julia and I'll have Alvin just going to come forward, and can we pop up here on the stage, and I'd just love to pray for you, Annie. Is that okay? Thank you. Lord God, I want to thank you so much for this beautiful woman and for the commitment that she's made. I thank you that she has found you and that it's changed her life. I thank you that you make her brave. I thank you that you make her joyful. Thank you for the light that we have seen come into her life. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow her, that she would continue to just grow in maturity and in her faith. Lord God, would you direct her steps always? Would you provide her with everything that she needs to grow well? Would you give her courage and boldness to share her testimony, share her faith with those around her? Lord, would you help her in her family, help her in her friendships, help her in her marriage, help her in the life that she lives? May she be a follower of you always and spread your message wherever she goes in your mighty name.
Thank you, Lord, for our beautiful Annie. We thank you that she is part of our community, but more than that, she is part of our family. We thank you for the plans that you have for her. We thank you that you will stretch her to do things that she wouldn't have thought was possible. We thank you for the doors that you open for her. We pray for your abundant grace and your peace in her life, that she will feel complete because she is complete. And in lacking nothing in terms of wisdom, lacking nothing in terms of knowledge and understanding, that you would grow her, that she will be like salt in her community, in her family, in her friends, that everywhere she goes, she carries your light. So we thank you for our beautiful Annie, our beautiful sister, and your blessing be abundant in abundance in her life. In your name.
Dear Lord, I just want to pray, ask you, what you have done for my life, I ask that you would do the same for Annie. Direct to her, let her to feel peace, give her strength, confidence in her life, and give her a peaceful mind to solve all the family problems. When there is a problem comes, you know, Lord, I always surrender to you. I ask you to help me. I will pray the same will have for Annie, and everything will very peacefully and surprisingly unexpected come into the right place, just like she has never imagined. That's the Lord, wisdom and power, glory on us, on Annie as well. We just ask the Lord, you do the same for her and then continue working for this beautiful soul. And thank you for Annie, so open to you, Lord. She's ready. She has been thinking of you for this long journey. And today she made her commitment and then publicly to everybody to see. And then we ask the Lord to continue guide her in her, every part of her life. And then to pray for her family. Lord, you work on this beautiful family. Put your love and peace and wisdom into every part of in every heart of the family members, her husband Daniel, Maxine, her mom, her dad in China, and her beautiful brother. We pray with your power, Lord. Everything can change. Your Holy Spirit work part. We pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, now we get to the really good bit. All right, here we go. Okay, Annie, well, we practiced this before. We got some questions, and it sounds a little bit like you're getting married, but you're not, okay? Your lines are really easy. My lines are a bit harder, okay? Annie, do you believe in one God, one Lord, God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
In obedience to the call of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins and come to be baptized?
I do.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God wherever He may call you to go?
I do.
Well, Annie, having heard of your faith and of your repentance, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.